Let's open God's Word together then, this evening. On page 1518 in your pew Bibles, you'll find Matthew chapter 16, the top of the second column, verse 24. Jesus is speaking to his disciples in chapter 15 and chapter 16, getting them ready for the cross, but also for his ascension. And then in verse 24, we pick up the reading where Matthew writes, "By the power of the Spirit, then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.'" And then let's look at that together in light of Lord's Day 49 on page 895 in your Psalter hymnals. Question and answer 124. What does the third petition mean? "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven" means, help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have come to understand that to pray the Lord's Prayer takes a certain amount of courage and conviction that our Father in heaven is good, that our Father in heaven knows exactly what we need, that he is a Father who is intimately aware of us, who we are, what we need, how to drive us to faith, to drive us to confess his name, and that once we are in that confession, to continue in that confession as he molds us and makes us after his will, that more and more we cry out, "Abba, Father," and we bear that image of God as he develops it within us. And he can do all of that because he's a Father who is in heaven. We want his name then to be hallowed. Father, we want you to glorify your name no matter what it takes. And we want your kingdom to come. We want every human being to know that you are God, that you are sovereign, that you rule, that you are ruling through the new Adam who has been given dominion over the earth. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ, who is with us even to the end of the age. But in all of that, we come to understand that if God is going to hallow his name and he is going to discipline us as children, as soldiers, that means that life is not going to be easy. It is to understand what we have sung together already this morning and also this evening, that we are weaklings, that there's no power in us, that we come into this world as faithless, dead creatures to God until he makes us alive by the power of his Holy Spirit. So without that, no Christian can even really understand or pray this. I mean, we can pray it, I guess, in terms of rote, and quite often we do pray it, not really thinking about it. But Father, make your name holy no matter what. Let your kingdom come no matter what. And then, let your will be done. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father in heaven, we want you to be king and everyone to know that you are our king by giving us hearts of obedience. Not only us, but every human being on the planet that lives right now, that would be our desire, that everyone, whether it's from the hallowed halls of academia, whether it's from parliament buildings or throne rooms, or whether it's in the ghetto or in the ditch, that everyone would say, "The Lord, he is God, and he is our king, and Jesus Christ is the ruler supreme, and through him God hears endless prayer, and that he would rule our dominion through his wise, his wisdom and through his beautiful care. But that's not always easy to pray, is it? Father in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you want nothing more than to be married and you're not. When you wanted nothing more than to see your children grow and then the Lord takes them early on in life. Or when you wanted children so badly that you can taste it and the Lord doesn't give them. Or when you studied and worked very hard and you really hoped to get that job and it wasn't there for you. Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or when Jesus Christ says to his disciples, and we think then by extension to us as well, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do you want to save your life? Lose it. Do you want to see profit? Then you need to be part of that saving your soul. What would it benefit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Jesus says, when you pray, thy will be done, then you're also asking that the Lord God would give you the strength, the conviction to pick up your cross and to follow him. Because he says, I'm coming in judgment. The Son of Man is going to come with his angels. And you are either going to be moving with him into glory, into the new heavens and the new earth, or as we heard this morning of the portrait of the righteous man in Psalm 1, there's also the portrait of the godless man who loses his soul, who lives after his own will, who prays, Father in heaven, my will be done on earth. And then he goes to the place of perdition, the place of weeping and wailing, of gnashing of teeth, that he tastes of it already now. So Jesus comes to us this evening, and he commands us to pray that the will of our Father in heaven be done. First of all, we'll see that he's praying, or he's moving us to pray that heaven would rule over the earth. And that moves us to our second point, so that there would be an experience of heaven on earth. So Jesus Christ is being revealed in that Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus Christ is already beginning to pick up the things of his cross and of his suffering. The Pharisees, the Sadducees are constantly badgering him. And Jesus Christ continually picks up that suffering, or what we sometimes call his passive obedience. And what we mean by that is he's taking the grief and the ridicule and the scorn of these so-called leaders who themselves think that they pray, Father in heaven, your will be done, crush this Son of God, crush this one who says he's the Son of Man. They're envious of him, they can't stand him, they don't want to bend the knee to his authority, they hate him. And yet Jesus Christ continues to go the course. He continues to do the work. He will not destroy them now because he knows that he needs to go to the cross. And he starts to talk to the disciples about that. And he says to them that, I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. And from that time, Jesus then began to show himself to disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. Passive, right? And be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. You're the king. You're the Messiah. You're a ruler. You're the new David. This isn't going to happen. Peter is not praying, our Father who art in heaven, your will be done, even though the Son of God is telling him what the will of the Father is. I must suffer. I must go through this. I must be killed, because you don't need a political ruler. You need a world ruler who will redeem you, reconcile you, and restore you. This is the will of God for your life, Peter. No, no, no. If needs be, heavenly Jesus, I'll go to the cross for you. This cannot happen to you. And what does Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. That Satan now has even infiltrated the 12, the inner circle, trying to attack Jesus Christ, who will, as we go to Gethsemane with him, say, "Not my will, Heavenly Father, the Son of God, the beautiful Savior, true God and true man, the Son of David, the Messiah," says, "Not my will, but your will be done. Heavenly Father in heaven, let your power, let your dominion be seen in your rulership over the earth. God be God. God be King. Lord be sovereign." I mean, that's a remarkable thing when we think that the sovereign royal one is our Father in Jesus Christ. That the one who rules over heaven and earth loves us. And so now what we are being asked to do by Jesus is to recognize that. Father in heaven, you are our King. Father in heaven, we must give our lives to you. We must believe your promises. We must give our lives to you in faith and faithfulness. It's not enough to just simply say, "I believe," but now to, in conviction, live out of that faith. Father in heaven, we want to be your children. We want to obey. We will take up our cross. Your will be done. Father in heaven, you are our King. And if we must go to battle for you by picking up our cross, then Father in heaven, stoop to our weaknesses so that we now can be motivated to do the work you have called us to do, that all would see that you are King, and that through the Church of Jesus Christ, through your Son, through that church, by the power of the Spirit, you are ruling over the world. Now again, we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer and some of these things, and we're talking about the things of God. We've already said, well, how can we ask God to make his name holy or more holy? It's already hallowed. God, work in us and through us that people would see, make your name holy in our lives. The kingdom is going to come. Why are we praying for that? Because we want God to rule and dominate the whole world, including ourselves as individuals, and then corporately as the church. And now we would say, and maybe some of you are thinking, but God's will is always done. You can't change God's will. Why would you pray to change something that is going to happen? Well, and part of that is because God is commanding you through his Son to pray, because that's part of his will. He uses your prayers as part of the way that he brings things to pass here on the planet, here in Canada, here in your life. He says, "Come and pray to me." And when you pray, pray, "Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, the catechism right away brings you to that idea of the angels, right? Where it says that help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly, as faithfully as the angels in heaven. But some of the Puritans point out that heaven can also mean the skies. And that the skies would also then include the sun and the moon and all the stars, which are always, consistently, constantly, always obeying the command of God. And that as they do not talk back, as they do as they are supposed to do, we are supposed to do, although many of those Puritans will also go on to say, but probably it's correct to say that we're speaking about the angelic beings who are in heaven. Now, it is true that the angels perhaps do not bear crosses as we are called to bear crosses. But they are called to do the work of Almighty God at the beck and call of Jesus Christ, always doing battle for the King, always watching over us, always moving in our lives. I mean, they're here right now, fighting the demons that are here right now. And they're here right now because all of those things are happening even in our own hearts right now. Because the pressure on us from the devil and from the demons, but honestly, mostly from ourselves, from myself, is getting back to that day when we stood in front of that tree and Satan said, "You can be God. You can be God, knowing good and evil. You can do whatever you want to do. I give you the freedom." And we decided that that's what we wanted. And we decide that every day. Every time we fall into sin, we've decided, not your will, but my will be done. And Jesus knows our weakness. And so Jesus reminds us, you weak and pathetic little Christian, get down on your hands and knees and ask for the power and the strength, because there will come a day when you're going to have to bear your cross. Now, this morning we talked about that the man is happy who delights in the law of the Lord. He's like that tree, or she is like that tree planted by the living waters. And we talked about the idea that you can be happy even in situations of unhappiness, that we can rejoice in the Lord always because of who God is, and that we delight to do the law of the Lord no matter what. So now, Father in heaven, your will be done, that even when it's time to pick up the cross, let us do it with joy in our hearts. Let us do it with strength, and let us do it with power. And then we talked about Isaiah chapter 40, where the God of strength, who created everything from the ends of the earth, will give us the power of the eagle, who will help us so that we do not grow faint and we do not grow weary. He will empower us, but we need to be in prayer. The prayer is constantly a mirror where we're recognizing who and what we are. We are not obedient by nature. We are not the kind of people who really want to do what God wants us to do. We were born children of wrath. Yes, by faith, Christians are made alive again. But that doesn't mean that we don't, from time to time, if not a lot of the time, grieve the Holy Spirit. That we're wrestling with that sin. And that often happens when the rubber hits the road. And I think the Church of Jesus Christ and many Christians, or so-called Christians, people who pretend to be Christians, have decided we don't really want to bear that cross. We do not want to bear the burden of truth bearing in this world. We talked about it this morning, and I don't want to beat it too much again today, but there are things going on, even within our Christian communities, in our Christian school communities, where we're giving into the devil. We're giving into the lie. That it might be more important that people go to our Christian school than that the Christian school teach the truth. That we want people to think that we're relevant, that we're cool too, that we fit into this world, that we're awake, and that we're woke. And then so easily, like with Lot we saw this morning, all of a sudden you find yourself in Sodom and Gomorrah, and you realize it's because I didn't want to do the will of God. I didn't want to pick up my cross and take the insult and the ridicule and the beating, because you know they're calling us unloving. You know that we who love God and love His law are considered perverse and hateful by the world. Of course. You hear that often, even during the whole COVID thing. Well, what does the world think about the church? The world hates the church. That's the whole point. But we don't stop bringing them the love, and we don't stop bringing them the truth. Father in heaven, your will be done, like the angels. Let us go. And when it's time to pick up that cross, and when it's time to do your will, no back talk. No grumbling. Every parent here teaches that to their children, and yet how many children don't see us as parents grumbling and complaining about the burdens of the Christian walk in faith? And so Jesus says, pray. Pray out of your weakness. Pray that the world and everybody that you know would obey the beautiful and wonderful law of God. We don't want anybody to lose their soul, do we? And we know the way of salvation, don't we? And isn't it that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow? That's the greatest command. To love the Lord your God, to love your neighbor as yourself, to call them to love the Lord God, to keep the commandments of Jesus, that your joy would be full. The word comes to you, comes to me this evening. It says, bend the knee. Father in heaven, please rule over this world. Rule over this world and rule through Christ over your church, that as we walk as an obedient people, as the light of the world and the preserving salt of our society, the world may get a little taste of heaven on earth. Now, that second point, maybe some of you raise your eyebrows, heaven on earth. So we're not talking about utopia. We're not talking about that on this side of glory, before Jesus Christ perfects everything, when he comes again to judge the living and the dead, when he finally casts out the last enemy, death, and purges sin from this world. Until then, sin will always be with us. What's more, there will always be the elect, and there will always be the reprobate. There will always be the seed of the woman in Christ, and there will be the seed of the serpent. That enmity has been placed there by Almighty God. Heavenly Father, your will be done. But we also know that when we begin to live according not to just some, but all the laws of God, things begin to change in our life. We begin to have this peace with God. We take that burden of the cross and we bring it to the cross of Jesus Christ, who gives us his burden back, and then we begin to go the way of the cross. And the world does see something in us. They see love in action. They see the church as the caring community. They see the church as the bearer of truth. They see men and women who work hard in their callings. They see men and women who respect marriage, who respect sexuality, who respect fidelity and faithfulness, who respect God, and who respect other people. That on this earth they find a place where people who are commanded to repent and believe draw others so that they too can come to a place to repent and believe before Almighty God. That we are a place of confessing sinners, not so much in terms of the power and the growth of our own church, but of the building of the kingdom and of Jesus building that church, that we're ready to receive any who will come to us and then go out and call them into this place. For Jesus did say, go therefore into all the earth, go into your communities. I've called you to where you're going to work tomorrow. I've called you to the school bus tomorrow. I've called you to your neighborhoods. Wherever you are, I've called you there. I have strategically placed you there for a purpose, that you would obey me. And if needs be, when they slap you, when they laugh at you, and they ridicule you, you man up, and you bear up, and you take up that cross, and let them see the power of Christ in the Church of Jesus. How is it possible that the Church of Jesus Christ is even standing today with the devil throwing everything he has at it, and communism, and atheism, and all the temptations of the world? Revelation 12 is always there. Persecution and evil persuasion. But because God, through the power of his Spirit, has people who will obey him. And then we need to commit to that. Father in heaven, your will be done in our lives, that a little taste of heaven on earth can be seen. You know, even just historically, sometimes we talk about Christendom. And Christendom is when a society embraces some of the morality, some of the work ethic, some of the ideology of Christianity. And wherever that has happened, especially after the Reformation, we have seen those cultures flourish. Music is written, poetry is written, businesses are created, industry continues, governments rule the way they are supposed to, neighborhoods are safe, marriage is protected. It's an amazing thing that even non-believers, when they follow these laws, will find some sort of blessing on the earth. And contrary to that, we are seeing that as the West especially is leaving Christendom and leaving the will of God and refusing to obey God on any level, look at the chaos that's happening. People don't even know who they are or what they are. They don't know what marriage is. They think that life in a womb is not life. And they think they're intelligent. We have four-year-olds in this church that know that God created the earth out of nothing. And we have people who have spent their whole life trying to spend their time in writing doctoral dissertations how it happened through evolution. That's chaos. That's brokenness. God has you in this world to see it. And he says, don't go there. And the way to not go there is to say, Father, your will be done in my life, in the life of the church. We need more than ever in our neighborhoods here in Ontario to be obedient. Canada needs a strong church. The world needs a strong church. The church will be strong in Christ. His will be done. But that doesn't mean that we aren't part of this in our prayer, saying, Lord, we want to be part of it too. We want to direct our neighbors to what is good and right and proper because we want them to experience some joy too. That we want to together grow in faith so that we really become an attractive light burning on a hill. Yes, beloved, we can't do it. And Jesus knows we can't do it. Jesus knows there's no way we're going to pick up our cross on our own. Jesus knows that without him, we're helpless. And so he says, when you go, and you pray our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Make your name great no matter what. No matter what I need to suffer, let me be obedient and strong in you. And if we must suffer for carrying the name of Jesus, let us bear our cross. Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Rule and dominate this world as ultimately you will when Jesus Christ comes again, because he says, I'm coming. And I'll judge each man according to his work. And what it says there, assuredly, some of you standing there will not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The beginning of him coming in that kingdom will be the destruction of a Jerusalem who sold out their souls to try to gain the whole world and would not follow Jesus Christ. Your will be done. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be good and loving children. Let us be faithful and courageous soldiers of the cross. And give us that power and strength until Jesus Christ comes for us in death or Jesus Christ comes again. That all may know that we are the people of God. And on this earth, there's just a little taste of heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need your power and your strength in our lives. We pray, God, that you would bless us as we go forward into the week ahead. We pray that you would give us opportunities to serve. And when someone comes and asks, that we would, in gentleness, give an answer for the salvation and hope and the joy that is within us. And Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless all of our students as they head off to school tomorrow. Give them discerning minds and open hearts. We ask, Lord, for all those teachers who are going to teach these young people, that they would teach them about the kingdom of God and the callings that we have and the beauty of obeying Jesus. And we ask, Lord God, that you would go with all of us into the week, that we would be soldiers of the cross. And so, Father in heaven, we pray that the Spirit of God would dwell now in our hearts. For without him, without Jesus, without you, we are nothing. In Jesus' name alone we pray.